If we could be turning to page 1020, you might remember we're in this series thinking about our verse of the year, John 10, verse 11, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And we've been thinking about that verse from slightly different angles in Scripture. We thought about Jesus' heart in Matthew 6 for lost people, his heart of compassion. The good shepherd, what's he like? He has a heart that's full of compassion. We looked at Ezekiel 34 back in the Old Testament, and we thought about the way that Jesus shepherds his people with words to help them look to him and follow him, in contrast to false shepherds who don't care for the sheep. They can just get fat and they're greedy. We thought a couple of weeks ago about what Jesus, the good shepherd, says about heaven and hell and who goes there. We thought last week in... I can't remember. Anyone remember? What did we do last week? 1 Peter chapter 2. We thought that that sheep live like their shepherd. Sheep live like their shepherd. This week we're in 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to see what's there. I wonder if you have a look at the screen, what you think this snail, and this tree, and this church family have in common. I wonder what you think these animals, and this tree, and this church family have in common. The snail, the trees, and the other animals. In fact, if to be really specific, this Bristol white bean, this Samotran orangutan, and these African forest elephants, and this five-finger maple, and this Berry Street Community Church, the thing they have in common is that they're all in danger. They're all in danger. I wonder what you think of that. They're all at risk. The snail from the lorry, I wonder if you saw the lorry in the distance, that is very much in danger from that lorry. The trees and the animals, the other animals, in danger from deforestation and poaching and that kind of thing. Berry Street Community Church, in danger, because living for Jesus is really hard. And the temptation, the danger is that we turn away from Jesus and drift off. We're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 5. It's on page 1220. And I wonder, as we read together, I wonder if you can spot any potential dangers. I'd be thinking, can you spot any potential dangers for the church? So 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 1, right next to the big number 5. Peter writes, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Anybody spot any potential dangers in 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 11? Any potential dangers? I don't think they're easy to spot, so you can have a minute. Any potential dangers? Pardon? Yeah, specifically, I suppose, elders, leaders who are out for dishonest gain. Yeah, Pete, thank you. Leaders who are out for dishonest gain, that is one danger in the church, among the church. Any other potential dangers? Anxiety. Yeah, great, Nigel, thank you. Where is it? Verse 7. Anxiety seems to be a danger for the church.
Pride.
Pride, yeah, great. Where do you spot that? Humble yourself, yeah. So the opposite of humility, pride, a danger for the church. Any others? Yeah, great. I think that's the big one in these verses, verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. That sounds like a danger to me. Any others? I've got two more. Unwilling, greedy leaders, to go with the ones that are out for dishonest gain. And then in verse 9 and 10, end of verse 9, sufferings. Verse 10, after you have suffered a little while. And those are just to mention a few. In the book of 1 Peter, Peter tells us of many other potential dangers for the church. He talks of suffering and grief, of all kinds of trials, of rejection, of accusations, of mockery, of malicious talk. He speaks of Christian life as experiencing a fiery ordeal because people don't like Christians and churches. And so he says we're in danger. Think of it like this. Here is a sheep. In danger, very much in danger, correct? Lions, wolves, falling off cliffs, bears. We simply need to name those things. Suffering, pride, griefs, abuse and mockery, persecutions, trials. Can we all agree the sheep is in danger? The sheep is in danger, only it's not a sheep, it's a church. A church in danger from suffering and trials and pride and griefs and persecutions and abuse and mockery. In danger. When people mock us, when family members think we're silly for trusting Jesus, when friends say that we're wasting our time with him, it can be tempting to turn away from Jesus. And so those things are real dangers. But this morning, through 1 Peter chapter 5, God gives us three safeguards to help us. So when the flock is in danger, when Berry Street Community Church is at risk because of trials and griefs and sufferings, God calls elders to shepherd and all of the sheep to be humble and alert. When the flock is in danger, God calls elders to shepherd and all the sheep to be humble, alert and sober. So that first one then, when the flock is in danger, God calls elders to shepherd. Chapter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds, elders, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Last week, maybe you were here and you remember we thought about Peter urging us. And we tried to think of a facial expression for urging. Must check with Emmanuel what he would go for urging. We kind of thought, ooh, urging. Here, Peter appeals to them. I appeal to you, elders. Come on. Pleading with them. Appealing. What does he appeal? He appeals that they would shepherd the flock. Did you notice whose flock it is? Verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock. that is under your care. And later on in verse 3, we get this language of the flock being entrusted to elders. So the elders of the church are to shepherd and watch over the flock on God's behalf. Think of it like this, the primary school class guinea pig. People familiar with that kind of thing? The primary school class guinea pig? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. That's just for blank looks. Just checking. Primary school guinea pig given to you for the holidays. Entrusted to you. Under your care. Do you pop it in the cupboard for 6 weeks and get it out in September? No. Please don't. Please don't. No, it's been entrusted to you by the whole class. They've given it to you to look after, to watch over, to make sure it's got enough food and water and whatever else a guinea pig needs. It has been entrusted to you. And similarly, the body of believers, the church family, the members of the local church have been entrusted to elders for them to look after, to care for, to watch over. Me and Veman and Nigel have been entrusted with clear responsibilities to shepherd this church family as elders, to watch over you, to care for your souls, to help you follow Jesus, to pray for you and support you, at times to rebuke you, say, no, that's not how Christians live. It's our responsibility to think carefully about how this church will function best to help people who are in it follow Jesus. We could read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 like this. To Veman and Nigel and Jake, I appeal as a fellow elder, be shepherds of Berry Street Community Church, the flock under your care, watching over them. And as we read it like that, me and Veman and Nigel have to ask ourselves, am I? Are we shepherding the flock entrusted to us? Are we helping people to live faithfully for Jesus? And as we read it like that, you can be thinking, are they? Are they shepherding this flock entrusted to their care? Are they watching over us? And if you feel that we are, praise God, what a gift. And if we're not, or if you think we could be doing it better, we would love to know about that. It might be that you think, I like being a Christian, but I'd love to grow in my prayer life. Or I'd love to be better at speaking about Jesus with my family. Or I'd love help fighting that particular sin that I struggle with. We would love to care for you in those ways, to help you where we can, to pray for you in those things. It's probably helpful at this point to say, this passage, this idea of elders shepherding the flock that is entrusted to them is one of the reasons we have membership here at Berry Street Community Church. So that followers of Jesus who call this church family their home can opt into this kind of care. It goes without saying, I hope that as elders we're praying for, we're seeking to care for everybody in this church family. Whoever calls this church home, whoever is part of this community, we're seeking to care for you. But it helps us to know who God has specifically entrusted to our care to have a membership. Maybe that's something you want to talk more about. I'd love to talk to you about that. Before we move on, and think about what Peter says to all of us. Peter has a little bit more to say to me and Veman and Nigel and to anyone else who one day would desire to be an elder. To Nigel, Veman and Jake, Peter would say, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. Nigel, Veman, me, are we willing shepherds? Or do we do it because we feel we must? Peter goes on, shepherd the flock, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Brothers, are we eager to serve? I've seen that you both are. Praise God. I'm not sure what you both have to gain as you shepherd. Perhaps respect or status. I don't know if that's a particular challenge for you. I guess in some sense I have more opportunity to pursue dishonest gain as I shepherd, given that I'm paid to do this. I must ask my heart, am I eager to serve or in it for the money? Peter goes on, shepherd the flock, verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Nigel and Veman and myself, are we arrogant? Do we look at me, not necessarily publicly, but in our hearts and our minds, look at me, I'm an elder, we're the proper Christians? Or do we recognize that we're sheep too? Sheep who need the shepherd. We're sinners in need of Jesus our Saviour, like everybody else in this church. We simply set an example of what it looks like to follow him. And as we do, Veman and Nigel, look at verse 4. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade. In the Tour de France, they compete for a yellow jersey. Brothers, we shepherd, we look after this church family for a crown of glory that will never fade. What a prospect. Church family, would you pray for your elders? We need it. Please pray for us to shepherd you well. Please pray that we would shepherd willingly, with eagerness to serve as good examples of what it means to follow Jesus. And if you spot us shepherding in an unhelpful, ungodly way, you must tell us. I don't think, oh, they're the elders, I can't possibly tell them anything negative. You must. We need you to. And then the principle for all of us in verse 5, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. The principle is that everyone else in the church, who in this time, when Peter was writing in the first century, would have been younger than the elders, but that's not the case here. Everybody else seeks to help the elders to shepherd and watch over the flock. Help, so submit to, join in with what the elders are aiming to do. Contribute so that we work together to build up this flock. Together. So no sheep in this flock is kind of headstrong and starting a revolt against the elders, but we're in it together. So that if trials come, when they come, when suffering comes or persecution comes, so that when Berry Street Community Church is in danger, us elders are able to, willing to, shepherd the flock and watch over you. Maybe you experienced that during COVID as huge trials and suffering came upon us and the elders met together, thought carefully, prayed about and sought to shepherd us. Maybe you can remember those days. That kind of thing. When the flock is in danger, God calls elders to shepherd. Second, when the flock is in danger, God calls all sheep to be humble. Middle of verse 5. All of you, all the sheep, elders and not, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Many of us have a natural tendency to think better of ourselves and less of others. It's inevitable, isn't it? We make decisions because we think that's the right decision. And so when we see people making a different decision, we think, well, they probably should have made the decision we made. There's something about us that does that naturally. We think, oh, I wouldn't make that mistake. I wouldn't say it like that. They do X, but they should do Y. Why are they worried about that thing? And they should be worried about this thing. Well, they shouldn't worry at all because God is sovereign. We might not say it, but we think like that. I know I do. I wonder if you can think of an example when you've looked down on another in the church family because of the way that they've done something. It's painful to think of, perhaps, but it's an example of our pride, the opposite of our humility. And Peter says we're not to be like that. Instead, we're to put on a humility. Put on humility, he says. Clothe yourself with it. I'm not sure this is quite what Peter had in mind, but here's my humility jacket. And some of you are thinking, I wish you'd wear that every Sunday. I put on my humility jacket. And what does my humility jacket do? It reminds me, sometimes I'm late. Sometimes I lie. And when I see that in other people, this reminds me that I'm actually quite like them. My humility jacket reminds me I'm a sinner who needs Jesus to save me. I'm somebody who sins in various ways. I can't even read this one. I think it's upside down. What does it say? Sometimes I'm greedy and I'm not generous. I'm a sheep who needs Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Sometimes I say the wrong thing. I clothe myself with humility and I remember I'm a humble sinner who needs a Savior like everybody else. Who am I to be proud when I'm wearing this? We clothe ourselves with humility. And if that's not enough, Peter reminds us that God opposes the proud. Well, I don't want that. God shows favor to the humble. I do want that. I want God's favor. So will I humble myself? If that's not enough, he reminds me of God's mighty hand in verse 6, that I am under it. When I gaze on God, think of his majesty and grandeur, his bigness. Think that his ways are not my ways and his thoughts are not my thoughts. I remember that I am very small and I'm humbled before him. And from this position of humility, clothed with it, I realize that what I need to do with my anxieties and fears and worries is cast them upon my God who cares for me. And as I cast my anxieties on my God who cares for me, who's majestic and mighty, has a mighty right hand, I'm freed from them to some degree and I'm able to serve others more freely. Where my pride makes me look on my anxieties and think, this is the worst thing in the world, and I can't quite see I'm blinkered to other people's anxieties, my humility means I can put my anxieties under God's mighty hand and look around and see others' anxieties and fears and worries and help them and serve them instead of thinking of myself as most important. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up. So we're not to be sheep who go it alone, thinking that we've got all the answers. We're sheep who work together as a flock. Each of us needy, each of us dependent on Jesus and each other. You need me. I need you. And that humility that we put on helps us to keep trusting Jesus and keep trusting each other and keep trusting our elders so that we're protected as a flock together from all the trials and sufferings that come. And third then, I'm going to take this off. I'll keep it on. Third, when the flock is in danger, all the sheep are to be alert and sober. Verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Why do we need to be alert and of sober mind? It's not a trick question. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. I wonder if one of the devil's best tactics has been to persuade us that he's not really real. We think of the devil and we think of a kind of red creature with horns and we sort of laugh and think it's for Halloween. And I wonder if the devil has made us drunk on that image, that picture. This book, I don't know if you've read it, C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters. It's letters from a chief demon to a young apprentice demon. It's genius. There's a copy in the Berry Street Community Church Library, which is just through those doors. You could borrow it. If you've never read it, if you've never thought about the devil's lies particularly, this is a great book to read. And it opens our eyes to the reality that the devil is real and scheming and clever. And one of the ways in which he's very clever is to persuade us that he's not real. And yet Peter wants us to know that he is like, there's the guinea pig, he's not like that. He is like a roaring, snarling, out to eat you lion. There are lots of Christians in our world, in our culture, who are very good at talking about Satan and his tactics. I just don't think we're very aware of that kind of language. And Peter wants us to be persuaded. The devil is real and he prowls. So that when you experience suffering and pain, he is right there alongside, whispering in your ear, "This shouldn't happen to a Christian. If Jesus was real, this wouldn't be happening to you. Why don't you just leave Jesus behind? Forget about him." When you're mocked at school for being a Christian, the devil is right there whispering, "It's not worth following Jesus. It'd be easier if you just stopped." He is a great danger to us. We must resist him. We shouldn't be surprised by the fiery trials that come upon us. Verse 9, because we know that the family of believers, Christians throughout history and throughout the world, undergo persecution and suffering. Christians have experienced suffering all through the ages. Jesus suffered, Peter suffered, Paul suffered, Stephen was stoned to death. We've heard stories on Sunday nights when we have our fellowship prayer gathering of missionaries through history who have suffered as for being Christians, but they've stood firm in the faith, in the truths about Jesus, because they know it's truth. They've resisted the devil's lies. And we need to too. Ready to swat away his attacks. I wonder where the devil is most likely to lie to you. Don't bother going to church today. It won't make any difference. Don't bother speaking to that friend about Jesus. They won't listen. Sin's not that bad. Just give up fighting sin. I wonder how he lies to you. I do borrow this book if you'd like to think more about that. But here's the reality, friends. Berry Street Community Church is in danger because sticking with Jesus is really hard, especially when persecution and trials and suffering comes. When people mock Christians, understandably, they think, is it worth it? But when the flock is in danger, God has asked shepherds to shepherd and sheep to humbly, alertly, sober-mindedly keep following Jesus. And then we'll be protected and safe. But wonderfully, and we'll finish here, verse 10. Jesus promises that he will hold us fast. Elders shepherding will help. Us being alert and humble and sober-minded will help. But ultimately, Jesus says he will hold us fast. Verse 10, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. Safety ultimately is found in churches who look to Jesus and hold on to him, because he is our refuge and our strength. He promises to hold us fast. I'm going to pray and we're going to sing of that. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, our chief shepherd, our great shepherd, the one who lays down his life for us. Please would you help us to entrust ourselves to his care. And please help us to entrust ourselves to those you have placed in this church family as elders. And please help us to be alert humble, sober-minded, because we're in danger. Help us to have great confidence that Jesus will indeed hold us fast. We pray in his name. Amen.